This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. Hour two, G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for making us part of your day. It's time for an edition of the NFL News of the Day. Here he is, Wolchuk.
All right, Cam Ward at his pro day yesterday went up to the Tennessee Titans, said, I'm solidifying it today. They finally got to see me throw in person. That should be all that they need to see. Cocky Cam Ward is in the building as he is probably going number one overall. He is the best quarterback in the draft, according to many, including myself. Now, the Tennessee Titans are very open to taking Cam Ward. They're going to now hold an additional private workout and throwing session with him. Adam Schefter said that they're also still listening to offers, though, for their first pick. But it's now, after seeing him throw, going to take an even stronger package.
There you go.
For the Titans to move down.
Who's got the strongest? Who's ready to bring it?
How strong a package are you ready to throw?
I just feel like Cam Ward has to be a little, because what did you say the quote was? This should be all they need to see.
I'm solidifying it.
And then they're calling him back for more.
Yeah. They want more.
It's like, so he didn't solidify.
Did he reject it? Do they say like, maybe the next time they meet, it's just more conversing. It's conversational. Maybe we're putting it's one-on-one. Everyone's here. This is now just us in a room together.
Maybe a little whiteboard action.
Maybe they actually ask him to run some of their plays.
Maybe they bring Will Levis into the meeting just to tell Cam Ward what not to do.
Yeah. Hey, dude, don't be putting mayonnaise in your coffee because now you're going to be turning the ball over left and right like Will Levis. Sticky fingers. Slippery fingers. Man, I made some tuna last night. I put way too much mayo in that. Hate when I overdo the mayo. Yeah. I need to tell myself that. I can always add more. I can't go back and like, I can't take the mayo out.
No, you can't.
Made it too wet?
It was wet as hell.
Do you combat
it? That's not a problem. This was a slippery slope.
You combat it with some mustard?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. Some relish.
You have to. And a little relish in there. There you go.
But goodness gracious. Golly, it was a bit of a soup beyond me.
Canned tuna.
Little soupy. Yeah,
canned. Were you just eating it out of the bowl? Or?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, good for you, man. That's some lean, Studley-type protein.
I'm trying,
of course,
dude.
You douse it in mayonnaise.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, it was avocado mayo.
There you go.
It's like the Chosen Farms or whatever, the one that's supposed to be. I mean, it's expensive as hell.
It's expensive as hell.
And normally I put a little bit, not enough, and so this time I overdid it, and it was just too much. But I don't think Will Levis, there's probably not too much mayo he could put in there. I think for Cam Ward, foregone conclusion, I'm booking it. He's number one to the Titans. I don't think we're going to get a trade.
You're solidified in Cam Ward.
I'm solidified. Now, I don't know what's going to happen after him. Shador to the Giants makes a lot of sense to me. I know we've had Adam Schefter, who's been adding and talking about that, that, you know, it just makes sense. There's a lot of smoke around it, but he's kind of been built for this. He's been raised performing under the bright lights of the big city. I could see it happening. I could, too. Now, we had a Tannenbaum mock that came out today. Where's Tannenbaum on your list of, like, guys that
trust?
He can be creative, too.
I like Mike.
Sometimes he thinks outside of the box, and he'll throw you something that, like, not everybody else is doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, he was GM for every team. Now, he indeed did take Cam Ward number one to the Titans. Travis Hunter goes two to Cleveland. Now, I was listening to some Cleveland sports, and they'd be ticked. They're like, if we don't take Shador Sanders, I don't know why in the world we're taking anything but a quarterback. I guess Cleveland fans just like keep taking a quarterback until we find one that eventually works over and over and over again. But, hey, they take Travis here. Shador goes three. How about Armand Membeau?
He is the guy that has risen up the boards. There are guys that have dropped in the draft, the Scortons and guys like that, even Will Johnsons and guys like that have dropped.
Ted McMillan.
From the top, you know, from guys that were in the top four or five. Membeau was like a guy that probably was at the bottom of the board.
Crazy.
In the bottom of his first round and has fought his way into being a top maybe seven pick.
Goes four here to New England. Offensive tackle / guard out of Mizzou. And then Abdul Carter falls all the way to five to Jacksonville.
Okay, I'll ask you guys this question. Because we've talked about a scenario where if we get to five, it's you're looking at your second round pick and like a fifth round pick to get to five. Would you go do it for Abdul Carter?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'd have to consider it.
Elite pass rushers make the defense go round. What are you giving up?
A two and a five.
Plus 12.
Well, you're just, you're basically.
You're swapping and go
you're
two
swapping,
five.
Yeah,
I'd have to consider it. Abdul Carter's
definitely
one of those
will
few
consider
studs.
It.
Absolute studs. Now, I know, like,
what's
I'd like
the injury
to get,
situation? Injury and personality
they
stuff?
They say that maybe more of a diva than.
He's probably going to be tough to deal with.
Than our guy, Micah Parsons.
But maybe him and Micah together. I mean, again, that could flourish or that could end up just being awful and backfire on you. We'll see. Now, Abdul Carter's also saying that I'm going to be the number one overall pick. Don't let this quarterback talk fool y'all. They already know who's the best, and no quarterbacks in that discussion. Like I said, the best player goes number one.
That's good engagement farming. You know, this is a great time to grow your brand. The world is hungry for NFL news. You say stuff like that. You know, everybody that talks draft is talking about you for another day.
Yep. And, I mean, he's doing a good job of that. As you mentioned, keep your name in the news there.
But there's no way you pass on Cam Ward.
No, you don't pass on
the potential to be special.
You don't
end
do
of story.
That. You don't do that. He's not going
to. We're not projecting Mitch Trubisky is going to be a good quarterback here. It's a guy with an amazing talent.
Genty 6 to the Raiders. That seems like everyone's putting that now. That's the new lock. Campbell to the Jets. You go to the Cowboys pick here. Tet McMillan, the wide receiver out of Arizona, goes 12 overall to your Dallas Cowboys, according to Mike Tannenbaum, former general manager with the Jets, Jets. McMillan.
The only thing wrong with that is he should wear the 88s and throw up the X because he plays a lot like Dez.
He does. When you talk about somebody that doesn't have a lot of separation, angry, violent runner after the catch, the size. Yeah, I could see that.
Catch radius goes up. Goes up spinning majestically.
It's beautiful watching him catch the football.
Can you give me the four picks after that, please?
Four picks after. Okay, 13, Dolphins take Josh Simmons, the offensive tackle from Ohio State.
Okay.
14, Colts take Tyler Warren, Penn State tight end.
Okay.
15, Atlanta Falcons taking Kenneth Grant, the defensive tackle from Michigan.
A good player.
And then the Cardinals take Matthew Golden, wide receiver out of Texas at 16.
All right, the determination here, guys, for us is going to be whether we're going to take Ted or we're going to take Golden.
I don't think it's even a conversation for me.
Well, it's not for you, but it's the conversation for them.
You know? Yeah, and that's going to be, I think, one of those things that feels inevitable now. If the Cowboys are not as in love with McMillan as most people are.
Yeah. I know there's a couple people in that building that definitely have him as the wide receiver one, Ted McMillan.
That's what I'm saying. That's where this thing is going to come down to at 12.
Yeah.
It's not going to, it's going to be, if you're going to take, and I think if you're going to take an offensive player, because the way everything looks out right now, Ginty's probably off the board. So you're probably looking as a wide receiver right there.
Yeah, if you're going offense.
So if you're the Cowboys, you have to determine if you want to take McMillan or you want to take Golden. That's where it's going to come down to for them. Because they're not going to take Luther Burden, it doesn't sound like.
And you don't think they like anybody defensively there as much?
I think they might like Egbuka more than Golden. Egbuka might be in the conversation there.
All right. But you would still go McMillan, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so would Broaddus.
I haven't heard that.
You haven't heard that?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I think that it could be, and it's some. Like, this could be a different opinions in the room.
Mm-hmm.
It could be Tet, Egbuka, Golden. 1, 2, 3. I think, is 4.
Aren't you going to get in trouble, like, betting on the speed instead of the better college player? I mean, Matthew Golden is very intriguing if that comes together.
Oh, no, I have no problem with Golden. I have absolutely no problem with Golden if that's who they're looking at right now.
It just seems like his profile has raised significantly since the combine and this crossover past Tet McMillan. That's not what everybody was saying before he ran the time that he ran.
He's a 4.51 guy, 4.52. Okay. So, yeah. I would have it on my board would be, I would have it, because I don't think they'll take Burden. As I said it again, I have it McMillan, and then I have Egbuka, then I have Golden. But I think for them, they probably like Golden a lot.
Didn't Golden run a 4.29?
He sure did.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
you're going to project that's going downfield, but turning on and watching him in college, it doesn't seem like a very polished guy.
Yeah, the route running for him, he could improve a little bit, but he is a big play type of guy.
But you got to understand
in big moments.
You got to understand if you watch Texas offense a little bit, it's all this screens and drags, and it's, you know, there's occasional down the field, and it's probably because of their quarterback.
Gotcha.
You know, but they throw it seems like, you know, you look up, I mean, the number of screens that these receivers catch, it's hard to project Golden. I mean, he does make plays down the field, but not like you would think.
Yeah.
You know, not like you think, oh, man, look, a guy can run 4.29. They're taking advantage of him. No, the scheme really kind of is around the quarterback who just is kind of an underneath thrower.
Yeah, the production, it's not even close. Matthew Golden and Tet McMillan. And McMillan, I don't think, ever played with a quarterback that was anywhere near as good as Quinn Ewers. So I don't think that it's close, in my opinion. But, hey, the Cowboys are going to do what they want to do. Maybe they do like Golden.
I mean, me personally, I would absolutely love it if it came down to Egbuka and McMillan.
Yeah.
You know?
But, hey, I mean, Matthew Golden's a good player. Mm-hmm. He ends up being good. But at 12, man, I'd be stunned. I'd be stunned if you go Golden over McMillan. Now, you did bring up Luther Burden.
Mm-hmm.
So Eli Drinkwitz, because we've been hearing like some stuff.
They're having to defend the kid now. Yeah.
So here was Eli Drinkwitz on with Kay Adams, and he comes out and really stands on the podium for his guy.
And then when you talk about Luther Burden, I'm jumping the gun here, Kay, but his competitive spirit, competitive toughness, you know, if you're a program that maybe hasn't been to the NFL playoffs the way you want to, and you're trying to rebuild, you know, this guy's already done that at the University of Missouri. He came when nobody else thought he should. He came when it wasn't exactly sunshine and rainbows, and he made it into that. He's an elite player that can take over a game. He's a guy that when the ball is in his hands, he has a stubborn refusal to get tackled, and especially in a league that doesn't, you know, I'm not going to say they don't tackle, but not everybody's out there trying to tackle people. He's going to run through a lot of arm tackles. He's going to run through guys who do not have a mentality that we're going to bring him to the ground, and his competitive spirit. So again, maybe you're solid on the offensive line and you've got a really good quarterback. You better find a way to get that ball in the end zone. And Luther Burden, they call him Touchdown Luther. I mean, I don't know what else you need to be called in order for you to get drafted in the first round.
It's pretty good praise right there from your head coach. And the tape's great with him, but he's also one. He just kind of scares me a little bit with his size on the outside. Like for a guy that's all about like just, hey, I'm just going to throw it out to you, kind of a bubble screen. I'm going to catch it and run. And now in the open field, like he is an absolute monster with the ball in his hands. But I just, like, I see Golden better, Egbuka better, Tet McMillan better, and then Burden for me would be wide receiver 4. If I'm not including Travis Hunter in the wide receiver rankings. But Eli Drinkwitz, high praise there for his guy at wide receiver.
And that's what you expect, right, from the coach? I remember when Brian Kelly was talking about one of his quarterbacks that was DeShone Kizer.
Yes.
Was it Kizer
at Notre Dame? I think it was. And he was like, oh my gosh. Yeah. He's like Michael Jordan.
It was before the draft and he was underselling the heck out of him. It was like, I actually appreciate the honesty there from Brian Kelly. Because Drinkwitz is acting like he would take Burden number one overall.
Now he probably does love Burden because he's right. I mean, he did come in there and help him turn around the program, but I don't know. He's just not my cup of tea compared to others, but other teams could have Burden as their wide receiver one. That's the beauty of the NFL draft right now. You never really know what the deal is. Okay. Yep, go for it.
Sorry. As a coach in that situation, though, I'm saying all this stuff. I'm getting the clips, and I'm sending that to recruits. This is how I'm going to do you.
Exactly.
You're leaving.
Yeah, right. It's a good look for him.
I'm taking care of my guys.
It's a really good look for him.
That Burden guy actually sucks, believe me. I wouldn't touch him.
Trust me. He's a pain in the ass to deal with. I'm so happy he's out of the program. Stephon Diggs got some positive news, the ACL recovery. He left the Patriots visit last week. We talked about that, went in, but he is now running full speed 5 months after tearing his ACL. So he is looking good, progressing very, very well as he continues to rehab. He's a free agent. The longer he stays out there, you're going to keep hearing the rumors. Hey, maybe he links up with his broski here in Dallas. But either way, positive news for any team that wants to bring in Stephon Diggs. I did see that, Dan Brugler put out Isaiah Bond at Texas Pro Day today. Bless you, Gavin. Just ran a 4.35. So he ran the 4.39 at the combine up to a 4.35. Still nowhere near trying to break what his former teammate Xavier Worthy did. Well, they didn't play together, but former Texas Longhorn Xavier Worthy did last year, setting the record. But 4.35, not too shabby for Isaiah Bond. And then the last thing here, Puka Nacua. He's 23 years old right now. Came into the NFL at 21. Here he was on the Join the Lobby podcast, and he's not one that wants to play too late in his career.
I want to retire at the age of 30. I'm 23 right now. I'm going into year 3. I think of Aaron Donald, like, man, like, to go out at the top, I think it would be super cool, but then also be like, yo, like, I want to have a big family. Just like, I want to have at least a starting five. I'm like, I came from a big family.
Oh, so he
like,
said he won't fall.
I need five boys. I need five boys for sure.
That's cool.
But also being like, man, I want to be able to like be a part of their lives and like be as active as I can with them. So I'm like, I don't want to be, the injuries are something that you can't control part of the game. So like, oh man, like you never know. Hopefully like the rest of your career go healthy. But like, man, you have shoulder surgery, you have knee surgery, you have ankle, and be like, yo, like by the time my kids could be 18, I'm like, I could be barely walking if I like, if you play the game and like you sustain all the injuries and stuff like that. But I want to retire early.
I mean, he got to the NFL very early, young man, to be going into year 3 already. I guess that would be a 9 or 10 year career. He would probably get, at least 2 good contracts and maybe a third might make sense for him. You know, at 31 years old, going on 32, Amari Cooper is kind of dunsky, you know, at least as a premium free agent option. Where's Stephon Diggs at 31 years old? You know, we do see guys play till 34, 35 at a decent level, but more often than not, like 30 is getting close to the end for most of them.
At least we start looking at 30s, like, okay, yeah, that's the downhill phase. So for Puka, not a bad plan. You still have 7 good years ahead of you.
Yeah. But if he can still play when he gets there, I don't know how you turn down the more money.
He might not. Like, it's easy to say now, but until you're in the position and you still feel like you can play, he might end up looking ahead and reassessing that.
Well, thank you, Woolchuck. NFL News of the Day is in the books. Where are the Cowboys in the post-free agent power rankings? We have that and more NFL News of the Day coming up next in the Nation.